When you look around Center City, Philadelphia in 2020, much of what you see can be traced back to one man. And unless you're a close observer of Philly politics or media companies, you may not have even heard of him. His name is David L. Cohen.
He was a critical player in financial moves in the early 1990s that saved the city, that really pulled the city back from the brink of bankruptcy.
After the 90s, Cohen became an executive at Comcast Corporation. He's leaving that role, but it looks like he'll still be a player in national politics.
If you want to run for president, you have to come see David L. Cohen in Pennsylvania.
I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Chris Brennan has covered Cohen for years. He co-reported the story that Cohen was stepping down as senior executive vice president of Comcast. Do you remember the first time you heard about David L. Cohen?
One of my first interactions with him was after SEPTA lost a terrible personal injury lawsuit in 2000, and their law department came out of that case looking terrible. And so the SEPTA board of directors appointed a panel of lawyers who were charged with looking at what went wrong and how to fix it. And David L. Cohen was the person who led that panel.
He was in private practice.
He was a Ballard Spahr.
Ballard Spahr, yes.
And so he took a couple of months. They did a deep dive on the department. And the night before the report was supposed to come out, I called him and told him that I had had sources who told me what the report essentially was going to say. And he pushed back hard and said that there was no way that I could possibly know what was in the report because only he knew what was in the report because he was writing the report. And I told him I trusted my sources and that what they were telling me made sense. And he didn't deny any of that, but he also continued to push and say that I could not know what he was going to report. And we ran the story anyway. And the next day, the report said what our story said.
So in other words, he was lying.
He wasn't so much lying as he was trying to back me off. I mean, at no point did he deny what my sources were saying. He just insisted that I couldn't possibly know what was in his head.
Let's take it back to the beginning. How did David L. Cohen get his start in politics, and where did he come from exactly?
Well, he was campaign manager for Ed Rendell's first successful run for mayor. And after that, came in and took over what was a really disorganized mayor's office in Philadelphia. The Wilson Good regime had just left, and there's an anecdote in Prayer for the City, the great book by Buzz Bissinger, where they essentially had to create processes and systems from scratch. And he did that, working long hours. He put together a successful administration from the ground up. He was a guy that worked all the time. Every reporter I know that's dealt with David L. Cohen has a story about getting a phone call or an email from him at 3:30 in the morning. There's a section in the book where they describe him finally taking a vacation after a couple of really hard months, and he insisted on having all his mail FedEx to him at his vacation location, and then he would respond to all that mail and FedEx it back to the office. So
not much of a vacation.
Well, for David L. Cohen, it probably was, but for everybody else, it would not have been. I joined the Philadelphia Daily News right at the end of Ed Rendell's second term, and by then, Cohen had reached almost mythological status. I mean, he was the guy that knew everything, that did everything, that was everything. He was the nuts and bolts of the entire administration.
A lot of people saw that administration, Ed Rendell's administration, as really pivotal for the city, as transforming the city, right?
Yeah, and I would say that probably started with Center City. Center City had a lot of vacant storefronts and wasn't a place that people hung around a lot at night in the 1980s. And some people see this as like a real accomplishment, you know, new restaurants, new shops, a more vibrant Center City. There were also people who saw that as criticism, as saying that Rendell and Cohen focused too much on Center City and not on the neighborhoods.
So when did David L. Cohen start to become involved in state and national politics?
Well, Ed Rendell's next job after being mayor was as chairman of the Democratic National Committee. And David O. Cohen went to Ballard Spahr, which unto itself is a significant political player. And so I would say they both rose in political prominence together. Rendell tends to be a guy who's in somebody's camp. He's, you know, a dedicated fan of Hillary Clinton. There was jokes in 2016 that, you know, Ed Rendell wanted to be her chief of staff if she had won that election. David L. Cohen was more pragmatic in his political machinations, supported Republicans like Pat Toomey for Senate and Tom Corbett for governor, but also supported Hillary Clinton and, you know, other Democrats locally and nationally.
So when did Comcast come into the picture for David L. Cohen?
2002, I believe it was. And that was another, you know, a big undertaking. I mean, if you look at what Comcast was then and what Comcast is now, it's a larger entity. It's a more complex entity. It's got a lot of facets, and he's got a hand in all of them.
When we come back,
if you asked him to build aircraft carriers, I think that he would figure out a way to build a really good aircraft carrier.
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking with Chris Brennan of the Philadelphia Inquirer about David L. Cohen's decision to step down as senior executive vice president of Comcast Corporation. So during his time at Comcast, what were some things that he did?
On the law side, there was an attempted merger with Time Warner.
Our investment will bring Time Warner Cable residential customers faster internet speeds, more programming choices, our next generation X1 entertainment operating system, and more robust Wi-Fi.
Business customers. On the Wynn side, there was the merger with NBC Universal.
We're happy with the company. We're happy with the combination of content and distribution. And we think, maybe more importantly than our happiness, we think the customers of both companies are very happy.
When you get to a corporation that size, you know, you start growing by absorbing other things. And so he oversaw that, and sometimes they won and sometimes they lost.
He also increased Comcast's lobbying efforts, right?
Significantly, yes.
In what way?
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of federal oversight for a corporation that size, a broadcaster that size, a company that holds federal licenses for broadcast. And I believe that this is part of the reason why his political leanings have been so pragmatic and so bipartisan. You know, he pushed for the company to be able to expand in the way that it wanted to. And you can't do that without a little love from federal politicians.
And part of that was fighting against net neutrality, right?
That's right.
That most extreme view, if you will, of so-called network neutrality, such that the networks are so neutral that they're available to anyone, that's not a good way to stimulate us to continue to make investments in upgrading that network and expanding that network.
And so that was a big part of the lobbying effort that he made, right?
It was, and it drew the ire of a fair number of protesters who did not appreciate that.
So, you know, this is an interesting shift for someone who kind of made a career running Philadelphia from behind the scenes. Is it clear why and how he made that jump in his reputation from this guy who ran Philadelphia from behind the scenes to this loud voice on national communications policy?
Well, I think if you look at what his brand is, it's a guy who understands how everything works and what has to be done next and how you plan for 3 or 4 or 10 or 12 things down the road. I mean, he's a remarkable administrator. He understands complex systems and how to navigate and negotiate them. And so I think if you dropped him in any kind of situation, that's how he would approach it, no matter what it was. If you asked him to build aircraft carriers, I think that he would figure out a way to build a really good aircraft carrier.
Mm. So throughout his career, David L. Cohen has been involved in politics at all levels. How is he still involved in politics?
Through money. I mean, he gives money. He encourages other people to give money. He is what they call a bundler of money. He's a bundler for Joe Biden's presidential campaign right now.
And what does that mean exactly?
It means that you don't just give money, you recruit other donors.
Mm-hmm. And part of recruiting other donors is actually hosting fundraisers, right?
I will tell you, I think there's no location in Pennsylvania that the Secret Service is more familiar with than his home in Philadelphia because they've set up shop there so many times. They know how to secure it. They know where the tents go. They know what roads you block off and what roads you leave open. President Obama, as we quoted in our story last month, made a joke that he had been there so many times that the only thing he hadn't attended at Cohen's house was a Passover Seder.
And why does he do it? What does he get out of it?
So most people who work in politics have a reason. Their founding mythology of their own campaigns. Ed Rendell's was driving ambition. You know, Ed Rendell wanted to be the district attorney and wanted to be the mayor and wanted to be the governor, and probably wanted to be Hillary Clinton's chief of staff in the White House. Other people are driven by, you know, they get involved in one political issue and then it branches out into more and more. I really believe it's the work that drives David L. Cohen. I believe that he likes the work, enjoys the process. It's the part of the job that most people find dreary that I think he enjoys the most.
Hmm. So last month you co-reported this story that he was stepping down from his role at Comcast. Why do you think he's doing that?
So the David L. Cohen story is that, you know, he's reaching a certain age. He wants to pull back a little bit. He wants to enjoy his life, maybe do more political work, more charitable work, less corporate work. And I believe that all of that's probably true, but I also think there's more to the story. We heard rumblings of tensions between him and the top management at Comcast. Comcast says that's not true. We also heard that his approach locally had sort of lost its luster.
In what way?
Well, so the way we sort of kicked this story around when we were working on it was, if you want to run for president in Pennsylvania, you have to come see David L. Cohen, but that doesn't mean he can kill a bill in city council. Mm. I mean, there was legislation that city council approved that Mayor Kenney signed into law and supported that would close the pay gap, the gender pay gap, and Comcast opposed it. And in times past, that's the kind of thing that Comcast could have exerted its will and done away with, but they couldn't do it this time.
So David Cohen has often been this behind-the-scenes guy, the guy that, like, makes things happen. And at first, it's a little unclear how he benefits from that. But one thing that comes to mind is he's become very wealthy from his positions, right?
That's quite true. I believe that he took about a $200,000 pay cut to become Rendell's chief of staff in City Hall. And now I think he's the third largest Comcast individual stockholder. So that's millions and millions and millions of dollars.
What is he going to do now?
So I imagine he'll be more involved in politics, not less, and maybe more involved in charitable endeavors. I think he'll continue to be a key fundraiser, a bundler of other people's fundraising. I can see him as a national advisor to the Biden campaign. I think he's just going to keep working. I don't think he knows how to do anything else. I don't think anything else would make him happy. The idea of him laying on a beach is ridiculous.
Well, unless he gets his mail FedExed to him.
That's right. And then FedEx back.
Thank you, Chris.
Happy to be here.
Chris Brennan is a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. We reached out to David L. Cohen for additional comment, but didn't get a response. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. Had editing help on this episode from Eugene Son. Send a tweet at Shai Ben-Yakov. See you tomorrow.